Andrew Holdren was a journalist for more than 30 years, including 5 as editor of The Press in Christchurch, 4 as editor-in-chief of The Age in Melbourne. But you didn't have to grapple too much, did you, with the Google and Facebook beasts during those careers? They would have been just starting to eat your lunch.
To a certain extent, we were certainly getting smashed in terms of losing classifieds to real estate websites. So I very much saw the demise of big income in newspapers. So Google and Facebook are just part of that changing world, really.
Yeah, on steroids, however. Now, what do you make of the chances of the New Zealand media companies being able to, A, get permission and then, B, successfully bargain with these tech giants?
Yes, it's an interesting story, and I understand Patrick's gazumped me this morning, but you need to get used to that, don't you?
We had a bit of a media focus in business today, but carry on.
Yes, no, I know, understandably. I would have thought there's a reasonable chance for them. I mean, the interesting element about media in New Zealand is it's long had a very strong cooperative element to it. The original News Publishers Association was exactly around that in terms of sharing copy around the country to, in many respects, mitigate the fact that a lot of the newsrooms couldn't be that large and couldn't afford to have reporters in every city. So there's a standing tradition, if you like, that would, I would think, give the Commerce Commission a little bit of comfort in terms of them getting together for something like this, and particularly for specific purpose. And the other advantage to it is that, well, there's two, really. One is that it's very easy for Facebook and Google to deal with the large publishers and then get very hard and difficult to deal with for the smaller ones. And it's nice to see the intent behind this is to take the same deal and apply it to everybody across the media here. But also it's a simple fact that the New Zealand government hasn't done what the Australian government did, which is introduce legislation in effect to force them into it. So the opportunity is there, but it's good to see that the media understandably is saying, well, we can't wait for any move from the government to introduce that. We need to get on and grab this opportunity. So you would hope it goes through and they come up with a relatively swift and successful negotiation, because at the end of the day, it helps fund journalism within New Zealand.
What do they learn from the Australian experience, though, or just how hard a row it's going to be to hoe?
Well, I'm sure that they will be able to get some intel from the publishers in Australia in terms of the kind of the money that they're talking about, or at least what comes down to in terms of a base negotiation, whether it's per story or population or audience, whatever it might be. So the industry, for all that can be highly competitive in Australia, also does like to share information to help each other. So I would have thought they've got a reasonable chance. The precedent is there. It would be difficult for Google and Facebook to reject any attempt to negotiate in this country. And if they were to play hardball, then that enables the media at least to go back to the government here and say, look, we do need that kind of legislation. Otherwise, we have a diminished media organisations within the country.
It's the risk that you undersell and then you end up closing that door.
There is that. That's very true, which arguably means you just put some timelines on it. You know, it might be for the first 2 years and then you reassess. And if you find out that, in fact, you should be being paid more, then you allow yourself that opportunity. It just needs a good, hard negotiator to go in and sit down with them and come up with a good result.
Now, there was also a story out of Australia, so-called anti-troll legislation. Was this targeted at mainstream publishers and their comments pages or allied Facebook pages, or was it more targeted again at the big tech?
It's a tricky one, this one. It's targeted at big tech in terms of your classic social media outlets such as Facebook, Twitter and Instagram. It's an argument by the Australian federal government, Scott Morrison, that there's so much trolling and bullying and harassment that occurs, particularly from accounts that are hidden. They're not identifiable. You're not even sure if it's a real person behind it, or that person is deliberately hiding who they are so that they can attack someone. And as we all know, there's some pretty horrible stuff goes on these outlets. The difficulty with what's being proposed is that, for one, Morrison started proposing this kind of law back in 2019, so he's been in power for 3 years and he actually hasn't done anything about it. But more to that is it's it's saying that they would introduce legislation that would force those tech giants to have to find out who sits behind some of these accounts to enable defamation. Defamation in Australia is a very expensive business. Really, you're not, in fact, opening it up to anybody who feels like they're being harassed or bullied unless they've got good resources behind them. So certainly a lot of the commentary I've read coming out of Australia is that this all this does is support those who already have a lot of power to push against people through defamation. Why not change it, if you like, into a rule that forces the tech giants to really deal with the bullies and the harassers, and which is arguably what Jacinda Ardern and Macron are doing with the Christchurch call.
Now, the BBC's audience figures have soared over the last decade or so. Is that because, well, that's just the way the news has been? And are we talking live listening or the more nebulous online?
We're talking a mix of everything.
There you go.
That's right. But, well, they're looking at BBC News across a whole lot of different elements. So they've reached, in the past year, they've got an average audience of 489 million adults every week. Quite extraordinary numbers. And their intent is to reach 500 million people. And that is, as I say, for BBC News. So it's across a range of different outlets, such as BBC News, World Service, and so on. So to me, what that says is it's an indicator that strong, trusted news outlets will draw an increasingly large audience in the midst of so much misinformation and half-truths and the rest of it. So to me, it's an encouraging sign for this kind of news service, which in many respects, even though the numbers obviously won't be the same for RNZ in this country or the ABC in Australia, it's heartening, I would have thought, to say good quality journalism that attempts to be open and trustworthy does indeed draw an audience.
There was a sense for a time that the Conservative Party had the BBC in its sights. When it sees audience numbers like this, will it affect its attitude, its approach when it comes to funding, etc.?
It's a fascinating dynamic, isn't it? Because you've got, again, the same in Australia with the Conservative Party's constantly attacking the ABC and wanting to reduce its remit and quite recently attempting to create a Senate inquiry into the way it looks at complaints. And the chair of the ABC pushed back there and said, well, we already have an inquiry going on and we have a very robust complaint system and, quite frankly, we have a board and it's our responsibility to look after it, not Parliament's. So I'll let others determine whether this is purely a Conservative Party versus public media fight in a couple of different places. It certainly appears like that. The difference is, or not the difference, I mean, I think the killer argument at the end of the day is both the BBC and the ABC always rate extremely highly when it comes to trust from their public. So for all of the politicians may want to argue against it or attempt to undermine it, fundamentally the people of both countries know that those two public media services are doing a great job.
Yeah, it was the licence fee again, wasn't it? I'm just trying to recall the BBC. Yeah. The licence fee again is always, it's being held out as kind of like, I don't know, a sword of Damocles all the time, isn't it? Getting
well,
rid of it anyway.
Right. Yeah. Yeah, exactly. And certainly in Australia, because there'll be a federal election in the first quarter probably of next year, the Labor opposition's come straight out very quickly and said we will guarantee increased funding for the ABC and lock it in so that it's not a political plaything.
Just a minute left to refer back to that earlier business story, Patrick Smellie's business desk being picked up by NZME is seeking to buy NZME. It's got to go to the Commerce Commission. That was announced to the Stock Exchange this morning. We've long looked at the models as journalists have tried to invent new ways of making a buck and keep doing what they're doing. How would you sum up how he's gone over 14 years with Business Desk and the decision now to accept an offer?
I think in many respects it's a heroic effort. 14 years to run your own business and keep it going. And, of course, you know, a very significant injection of funds and support from Brian Gaynor. But congratulations to both of them. A great effort that just supports them to increase their newsroom. I think they're around 20 at the moment, and they're hoping to get to 35. Patrick may well have explained that. So, that you know, that's fantastic if you've got that many people concentrating on one part of it. The second element, too, to me, says that NZME, New Zealand Herald, are in a very healthy state now, which is also a very pleasing thing for diversity of media within New Zealand, that you've got another one of the major companies now looking financially very healthy.
That crisis at the start of last year, goodness. Unfortunately, bad news can be good news for media companies, right?
Well, it has, and that you know, we were talking about this last time, is quite an extraordinary turnaround in the 18 months of the pandemic, as you've seen Stuff and NZME both in difficult situations and now looking far healthier. It's quite remarkable.
TV3 as well. Andrew Holden,
indeed.
Thanks very much. Andrew Holden, media commentator.